Flames fans, it's time for Flames Unfiltered, your spot for Calgary Flames hockey talk.
Okay, enough now, Flames. Put some wins together or put us out of our misery. Good evening and welcome to another edition of Flames Unfiltered, hosted by Brad Brood and Kyle Lewis. And yeah, we are here on a Wednesday talking Flames hockey, and I'm not going to lie, Kyle, this is probably not going to be our most uplifting show that we've ever done.
Far from it, I dare say, at least to this point in the season.
I honestly, I don't even know what to say anymore. Like, I really don't. I was going through what we were going to talk about tonight, and I'm like, okay, well, that's negative. That's negative. And he got hit by a car. That's not real good. It's just kind of one.
It's almost poetic, though. Eh? Things are so bad.
I don't one thing like after another, isn't it?
Thank God he's okay, but it just kind of epitomizes what's going on. This is not fun at all. It was fun for a brief period of the middle since our last show, but yeah, we'll try to make it funny because we can't make it happy.
The Ottawa game kind of broke me.
Well, the funny thing is, I was coming back from my West, and I got thinking once I hit Toronto, I'm like, I should have just gone into Ottawa and caught the game. I always see the Flames play in Ottawa because it's not that far from me, and then I was really glad that I didn't. So, but yeah, because it kind of broke me too. I was watching it. I went to go play hockey, and then I got off the ice and looked at the score. I'm like, are you like, come on, like, are you kidding me?
So you didn't see the pain live?
No, everything was great when I left the house, up 2-1. Yeah, it was good about it, and I watched what I missed when I got back. Well, admittedly, I watched the highlights, if we'll call them that, after I get back. But yeah, it was just atrocious.
I got really pissed because I was pissed at myself too, because with about 5 minutes to go, I'm like, oh, it's going to be nice just batting down the hatchets here, 2-goal lead, nothing to it. Honestly, I thought, we'll pop in an empty netter here. This is going to look better than it was. And we pretty much controlled the game, and we will move on and be good. And yep. That did not happen.
No.
It was crazy. I was proud of myself. Like, I didn't even get angry and freak out at all because it's like, I'm so beaten down right now. I don't even, like, I don't even have the energy to get depressed when we lose anymore.
Yeah, which is almost worse. It's kind of like when somebody's angry, like in a relationship or something, it's like, at least that shows there's still some emotion and they care. But when you just don't care anymore, it's like, oh, God, like, seriously?
It's frustrating, too, because I look at the standings and I'm like, okay, we're right there. Like, this shit can be good.
Well, yeah, and you said that before he came on, and I looked at that, too, the other day. I'm like, you know, like, this is still in a decent position. I think the team ahead of them has 2 games in hand, which is a lot in a race this tight, but it's like, okay, there's a chance, but every time we think there's a chance, they go out and they shit the bed again. So how many more times can we say it before it's like, oh, okay, there's no more chances.
I mean, I kind of like our chances against Nashville and Minnesota. I don't know why. I don't know. I sure as hell probably shouldn't feel that way.
I still think this team would match up well in a playoff series against most teams, at least on paper. But they're also been good on paper this year and haven't been. So,
I watch this team play, you know, and it doesn't look like they're having fun. It looks like us watching it. We're not having fun either. It just none of us are having fun. And then they don't play like to really like go after it and win the game. It's like they're kind of like they play. It's like, oh, we just can't lose this one. And then they end up freaking losing the damn thing.
Yep.
I don't know. It's a weird dynamic this year. I don't get it. I don't know where to point my finger.
Yeah, and forgive me for, you know, you're kind of throwing the ball back at me as you often do, and I'm just sitting here like, I don't know what to say about it. And no, I'll obviously share some thoughts, but it's just like we're sitting here going through this. You're reading the articles, reading the tweets, reading what the fans are saying. And it's just like, okay, this is not cool as is typical of this franchise so often. It's like there is no clear direction. They're not good enough to make any kind of noise if they make the playoffs, it would seem. And they're not going to get, you know, a good draft pick or any – like it's just always, always, always mediocrity. And it's extremely frustrating. So – yeah, Let's see what happens.
Well, we'll start the positive show, and we're going to talk about an ugly game, a good game, and then an ugly game.
Yeah.
And we'll roll through some Flames news, and then the elephant in the room. We're going to talk about Jacob Markstrom, our thoughts on that topic. And the news doesn't get any brighter. We'll talk about Rasmus Anderson. Probably the weirdest thing I've ever talked about on this podcast, one of our players getting hit by a car. We will do that, and then we'll wrap with a preview of three really, really critical. We say this every week. It's just like broken record. Three critical games at home for once. And, yeah, it's time for another episode of Flames Unfiltered. All right, Cal, let's get right back at a Thursday in Detroit. Boy, Pilar gets to start. That was good. Mm-hmm. Anderson was out. That's bad. And in the first, the Flames outshoot Detroit 12-5 in a game and no scoring in the first. I thought it was going along really, really well. I thought probably should have had one or two, but all's good. And then penalty troubles kind of started to creep into the second period. And things kind of went haywire from there. Although I felt like we were going to win this game the whole time. How about you?
I was pretty confident that we would. Clearly, that wasn't the case. It was a really, really frustrating game to watch. I mean, for that reason, obviously the penalty trouble that you alluded to, but just a team that, I mean, as much as they're kind of on the rise, you have to beat them, especially this time of year. And they just the ability to close games to. That game just kind of epitomized the type of game that's got away from Calgary all year.
You know, I thought things were going to go our way because we score first, and Blake Coleman scores on a nice pass from Hanifin, I believe. But It should have been icing. That play should have been icing.
Yep.
And we got away with one, and we got a break. And then we score, and then right away after, Dylan Larkin scores, and then it just – that was right at like 45 seconds left in the period, which I hate getting scored on late in the period. And it just, I don't know, it just, that goal pissed me off because it was a 2-on-1, Stone's back, he looks like it was his fault, it was actually Zadorov being an idiot, and then you had Lucic and Ruziska, looked like they weren't even trying, coming back to help out, and I don't know, and then we were 1-1 through the whole third, and then Rasmus Anderson takes a penalty with a minute and change to go, and it's like, I don't know. It just, that game pissed me off because I thought Vladarp was fine.
Why is he not?
Yeah, you know? He's been fine every game.
I don't know what more you can ask. It's weird. Like, I don't know. It's been like that all year, I guess. But you can't really ask much more of a goaltender than what he gave him in that game. And the shot volume is really frustrating me, too. It's like, oh, they shot them 12-5 in the first. And, you know, they're almost always outshooting their opponent and not getting any results. So I'm becoming less and less enamored, as I've said before, with that statistic.
I know. I think it's a relevant statistic, but sure as hell doesn't seem like it is all that relevant for us, is it?
No, and should be looking more at where the shots are coming from, because clearly a lot of them can't be particularly high danger. Otherwise, the shooting percentage would be a lot different than what it is. So I think there's too many perimeter chances and there's not enough creativity. So it seems to me anyway. So yeah, that game turned into a dud that shouldn't have, would be my synopsis of it.
For sure. Saturday morning, we wake up, don't even get our coffee drink, and we're playing hockey. It's like, are we in Pee-wee's here playing at 10:30 in the morning? I did not understand the NHL schedule on Saturday. I don't know if you're like me, but hockey.
I had no idea. I was in Edmonton, so that's, I was right, an hour behind you. Yeah, and I didn't know until I happened to look at my phone. I'm like, oh, okay.
Hockey is supposed to be played at night, and we had four Canadian teams playing at 10:30 or earlier.
Yeah.
I don't understand. On a Saturday, my God, that's supposed to be Saturday night.
Supposed to be getting groceries and stuff, not watching hockey that early.
Oh, and then they got the Jets. I feel bad for the Jets. They play it. They get the late game on Hockey Night in Canada, which is cool, but it's not cool to start a game at 9:00 at night in Winnipeg.
No, it's not at all.
That's what time the game started. I'm like, what the hell is this league doing?
But this it's just stupid.
This game in Buffalo did not start good, and it did not start good at all. Three shots, two goals, Thompson scores, Middlestead scores. Thompson's goal was a freaking rocket.
Yeah.
A rocket.
Imagine my frustration. We're down 2-0. I'm building IKEA furniture. Like, it was just an awful time in my life. And I actually said to my girlfriend, I'm like, you know, just, I don't even want to watch this right now. So just shut it off. So she shuts it off, and I check a few minutes later, and all of a sudden the tides turn. I'm like, she's like, I told you, like, you need to be more optimistic. I'm like, all right, put it back on. I'm like, fine.
I was at work, and I had the TV on in the office.
On Saturday?
Yeah. I work a lot of Saturdays.
Brutal.
It's a trade-off.
You're so upset at the start time.
It's a trade-off, though. I don't work a lot of Thursdays, so it's a pretty good trade-off. But anyways, I had the game on in the office, and one of the guys I was working with was kind of making fun of me. He felt bad, I think, for me. It's probably more of the truth. Right away, we're just down, and it's like, seriously? Markstrom's in net. I'm pissed about that. And I don't know. I didn't get to see a ton of the first period. The second period, I believe we scored on 3 of our first 4 shots, I believe it was.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it correct. Was Peltier with the first his first ever goal, which was really cool to see.
Nice shot, too, yep.
It was a good, really good play. It's one of those you want your first goal to be, right?
Yeah, not off your ass or something stupid like that.
Which, that's where mine would be, is off my ass.
Yeah.
Backlund scores after that, and Backlund, this was a big time goal. I really believe this is a big time goal. The move he made, he ties the game, and then the ball starts rolling. Gilbert gets his first of the year. Kadri scores. Yeah,
Buffalo kid too. That was cool.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of cool things, a lot of good stories in this, and four goals in that second period, and they tack on 3 more in the third, and 7-2, and what the heck? I mean. It was the first win for Markstrom since January 6th. Although he didn't have to do a hell of a lot, I thought, hey, maybe this is a stepping stone. You know, just sometimes you just need 2 points, right?
Spoiler alert, it wasn't, but go on.
It wasn't. It wasn't at all. 4 points for Dubé. Your guy is starting to come on here now. You're going to make me You're going to make me look bad by the end of the year here, and I hope you do. I hope you do.
Yeah, I'll be one of few good storylines if things continue as they are.
He had 4 points. That's a career high for him. Toffoli had 2 goals in this game. Hit his 20th and 21st. So he hit the 20-goal plateau. And he was my guy I worried about coming into the season, and that tells you how much I know. He's our best scorer now.
I was worried about him as well. So my mistake as well.
Gilbert gets a goal and an assist in his hometown. Lindholm, 300 career assists. Like, everything good. The storyline for this was just like, I felt good going to bed Saturday night. I went and watched a junior hockey game that night, and I was excited about my team again. And it's like, it's crazy to me how much 60 minutes can change my attitude for the next 3 days.
The next 3 days.
Wow. It does.
You might want to reevaluate your life.
It does. I'm angry.
Oh, man. You know, truthfully, I'm the kind of guy too that hangs on to like a great moment, whether it's 5 minutes or an hour, and that'll float me through for probably most of a week. So I'm not really one to talk.
Oh, so I felt good going into Ottawa. I did. I thought you were crazy for not going. And then, I don't know. I felt good. Markstrom's in net. I did not feel good about that. Anderson out again, his third straight. We'll talk more about that here in a short moment. And Brady Tkachuk, in what we used to call the Battle of the Brothers, we don't want to do that anymore, which is kind of nice.
Yeah.
Tkachuk scores, and then Dubé scores, Toffoli scores, Dubé scores. We're looking good, right? In control, mm-hmm. Shots in our favor again. Everything's going in our favor. I don't know.
Until it wasn't.
And then Ottawa. The final 3 shots of the game for Ottawa went in the net.
Yep, 2 of them with an extra attacker, which speaks to the team's inability to close out games. And I believe it was the Stützle goal that just... Yeah, if you're watching on YouTube, you can see my facial expressions, which says more than anything I can actually say. It's just beyond frustrating. This has gone on for so goddamn long.
We had 16 straight shots in the second period. 16 in a row.
Mm-hmm.
We built a 2-goal lead for once, which is rare.
Yep.
And then it just goes right away. And I sit and I watch and I look at guys like Stützle and Batherson and all these guys in Ottawa, and I think, Why don't we have guys like that?
Not great player development is part of the issue. Now that could change with, you know, maybe guys like Colche, but I don't know where to go with that. I guess it's frustrating because, like, as I said earlier, like the mediocrity surrounding this franchise, and we have a bunch of good players and pretty damn close to the cap, and it's like, why can't we have nice things? Why can't this roster be successful? And if it can't, why can't we have a bunch of young players to be excited about?
I don't know. I mean, I didn't mean to turn the tables and make this a prospect thing, because I think for the most part we've done better in the last 3 years than we did the first the 15 previous to that.
Oh, there's no question. Not only that, I mean, the Wranglers are first in the AHL, which is not insignificant.
No.
Sari looks good. Pelche's look good. Dustin Wolf looks like an absolute stud. There's lots of things to be excited about. It's just that interim period where your team is tremendously underachieving and the younger guys haven't shown what they are yet or haven't progressed to the point where they get that opportunity or haven't been given that opportunity in some cases. So it's just like what do you call it? Just kind of no man's land, right? Like, yeah. Like right now, in this moment at least, rattle off a few wins, next week she'll be different. In this moment, it just feels like we don't have anything going for us.
I saw an interesting thing, and then we'll get off the prospects talk, but I was looking at the AHL point leaders for defensemen under 21.
Yeah. I know where this is going.
We have the leading scorer in defensemen under 21. Did you know that?
I did not know that, but I'm not surprised. You talking about Poirier?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I watched him play in St. John, not far from here, quite a lot, including in last year's Memorial Cup. The knock against his defensive play, those cries were so loud, it often drowned out how good he is offensively. And his defensive game has actually improved tremendously at the pro level, and hopefully continues to do so. But that kid is an absolute stud with the puck. And we saw it, actually, I think it was last night, he walked through basically half the team to set up a goal right across the crease. Like, he's fantastic, very underrated prospect. So I'm glad you pointed that out, because not enough people are talking about him. And if developed properly, he could be a fantastic two-way defenseman at the NHL level.
I'm old school, like, stay-at-home defenseman type guy, but, like, I like what this guy brings to the table. And I think paired with the right guy, it kind of reminds me a little bit of the Shillington thing, right? Everybody... Mm-hmm. Loved Shillington's skating ability and his getting, you know, quick first pass out of the zone and how he could move the puck and he was good on the rush and everybody loved that about him. But we hated how he was defensively, right?
Yes.
It's funny how that changed last year when he was paired with Tanev. So I'm sitting here looking at this young prospect who's got 27 points in 41 games and I'm thinking, I mean, is that an opportunity next year for us?
That's a tough one to answer. Next year may be a little soon, but he's also way better, I think, than anybody predicted he'd be at the pro level. So it's a possibility, if nothing else, his progression and his ability that he's shown so far makes other people, potentially Shillington, at least, you know, keeping in mind his personal circumstances, but makes guys like that expendable, perhaps.
Dennis Gilbert was sent down and then brought right back up when Anderson got hurt, but... Are you a little surprised that we have Mackey on our roster and we're going with Gilbert over Mackey? Even though I do believe Gilbert's been better. I actually like Gilbert's game. I really like it a lot, to be honest with you. Are you surprised, though?
I would have been earlier. Well, I should say earlier in the year, but Mackey has not – he hasn't been good at all. And as good as Gilbert's been, it's kind of like one of those situations where it just meets in the middle. You got one guy that's playing probably better than anybody thought and one guy who's much worse than anybody thought. So that's kind of, it couldn't be clearer who you need to play of those two players. And it's unfortunate because I think Mackey still has a lot of potential, but.
I do too. I just wonder what's going to happen.
I think he needs to be back in the AHL for the remainder of the season and then kind of go from there, I guess. See if he can. I don't necessarily feel that he was rushed because, I mean, he's got a good pedigree and has quite a bit of experience, but something's off there, whether he's not a fit in Calgary or something's going on in his own life or there's just, he's too good of a player to be as bad as he's played. I guess I'll put it that way. Mm-hmm.
I agree with you, but then I often question myself and say, okay, am I only remembering his bad though?
I mean, to a point, because that's largely all we've seen. But how he's been at every other level indicates
you're
a player
who's firing not, the dude. Shots today, Kyle. Oh God.
Well, I mean, what do you expect? I mean, like, I'm not one to sugarcoat things on a good day. But
I guess that's why we call this unfiltered, right?
Well, yeah, we got to live up to our name, right?
So well, I'm
in a foul mood about some other things too. So
I call it like it is too. I agree. I mean, I'm not. I just think it's funny.
You know, facts are facts. I mean,
yeah.
And you know, we'll talk a little bit more about some other facts about some other players, in particular a goaltender. And it's just honest. You know, it is what it is.
I'm ready to talk him. I'm ready. Let's go. Let's talk Markstrom.
So let's start with Mr. Captain Obvious, Eric Francis in Calgary, you know, who I'm proudly blocked by on Twitter, along with legions of Flames fans, writes the most obvious article of all. But I actually like the fact that he wrote it because he's, you know, love him or hate him, he has a large audience. So Eric Francis writes this article saying, basically, it's time to run with Vladar, and that has been obvious for quite some time, and Daryl Sutter needs to admit it. It couldn't possibly be more true than it is at this point. After the Ottawa collapse, after how many soft goals and how many games, Vladar picking up points and whatever it was, 13 to 14, if you want to make the playoffs and with this salary cap and this ownership and this roster, we assume that's the goal, like everybody talks about, you have to run with Dan Vladar. Jacob Markstrom, I don't know what to do with him at this point. I'm actually in favor, and I mentioned this the other day on Twitter, and got some heat for it, and rightfully so, because it's an interesting take, but I would recall Dustin Wolf as a backup, just have him sit on the bench for a couple of games, whatever you need to do. Like, just get Markstrom out of the dressing room. Have him sit and eat popcorn, get his head straight, go see a sports psychologist. I don't want to be a dick about it, because I don't know what the issue is. I know he is much, much better than what he's shown, but he's costing this team games.
I do believe he will be fine. These people panicking, saying, "Well, we got this guy for 3 more years."
I don't buy that either. I'm not panicking about the tenure of his contract. I mean, I agree with you.
Right now he's not right.
No, at all. And playing him is not fixing it.
No, I just watch him in the crease, and even before the nonsense at the end of the Ottawa game. Like, I could tell he's not right in any game this year. He's not right. His body positioning is weird. His maneuvering's weird. He's a little more floppy. Is that a word? Yeah. I don't know. You know what I'm saying. He's a little more.
I know exactly what you meant, as far as that is.
He just doesn't look right. He just doesn't look right.
Nope. And his positioning is off. His maneuvers are. You're right. Everything you just said is bang on. And I'm sick to death of doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. And we're all guilty of it, different instances in our lives. With him, it's just not working. He needs to sit. He is not going to win this team any games right now. That much is clear. And bring him in a week or 10 days or something. Run with Vladar. Vladar has proven that either you're going to turn him into a very tradable asset, or he's going to be the guy that carries the mail for you.
Whatever happens,
it can only be good.
He's let in the first goal 52.8% of the time, and I know not all those are his fault.
But a lot of them are. That's the problem.
He's not making the timely save, and he looks nervous out there. He looks, I don't really even know what the word is. He just doesn't look Markstrom-like.
Oh, not at all. It's hard to believe this guy was a runner-up for the Vezina last year, and I'm not saying that as an indictment of him necessarily being overly critical, because it's a situation that's unfortunate. I often use real life analogies, and I'll use one here. Like, I have lagged in my own job performance at different points in my life because of other things that are going on.
Yeah.
You know, I suspect something like that might be the case here. I don't know. I don't want to start any rumors or conjecture about it. I just know that he's not right. He's not been good at all. And unfortunately, whether it's a company or a hockey team, you know, they have to make decisions that are in their best interest, and playing him is not in their best interest right now.
I mean, I feel bad for the guy. I feel for him.
How do you not?
I feel for him because I really like him. He's one of my favorite players on the team. I really like him. And I sit and I watch what he's doing, and the only thing I can liken it to in my own personal life is I golf a lot. And I've went through stages where, like, I either can't putt or I can't hit my driver or what, pick a club. We go through them. Or my whole game just sucks, right? And you're just off. And I've had those. I had a stage, not last summer, but the summer before, where, like, no matter what I did, I just, I sucked. I sucked. And it made me, like, feel like crap. And my confidence went in the tank. And it took me, like, literally, like, thank God it snows all the time here. And so I can't golf in the winter. And so I got over it during the off season and came back better last year. But, like, it, this game is not any different than any other sport. It's a lot of mental. And he's in a high pressure position. And when he underperforms, the pressure just, the next level goes up. And then the next game, the next level goes up. And all eyes are on him, man.
Well, they're running on a road, you know? They're running on a road to make the playoffs. And, again, it just doesn't make sense to play him. It's really that simple. I don't care what he makes. I don't care how good he's been in the past. It is not relevant to the current situation. Because he's been given opportunity after opportunity to turn it around. And the Ottawa game didn't have to be his best. But that's the goal. He has to have that. And so often we've said that this year, he has to make that save. Everybody lets in a squeaker
once in a while. Yep.
Sure, absolutely. That's part of sports. It happens. You know, I played ball before and missed pop flies in the outfield that I should have had. Like, I'm just tired of watching the same thing over and over. And a lot of times, yes, it does make sense to get a player to play his way out of it. That is not happening here. It's been long enough. I'm done with it.
I saw an interesting tweet. On whatever night today, what's today, Wednesday? Monday night after the debacle. It was from, I hadn't seen this guy on Twitter much, but it was KR, and it said, Flames goaltenders, when the game is within one goal, Vladar has a 9.913 save percentage and a 3.04 goal saved above average.
Yep.
One of these fancy stats. I'm not an analytics guy. Markstrom's is .879, and his goal saved above average is a negative -17.04.
Yeah.
Frightening.
It is. That is, it's not good.
So I started to think about this a lot yesterday while I was thinking about the show and what we were going to talk about. How much of this, and I hate to like, throw him under the bus even more than we already have, and the fan base has already done this. But how much has goaltending, or poor goaltending would be a better word, how much has our poor goaltending played a role in where we're at in winning and losing games?
It is the single biggest problem the team has. I would argue number two is probably the power play. But it's not just about the goaltender not playing well, it's the goaltender... There's no better way to say this, I guess, but sucking the confidence out of the roster.
Do you want to hear some scary stats?
Well, you just laid some on me, so you may as well keep going.
Last year, in 5-on-5 goals for, the Flames are ranked 7th.
Yeah.
I would have guessed we were 18th this year. You know what we are? We're 8th.
Wow. That's pretty telling. That really is, and you correlate those two stats, and yeah, that's... I don't think you can make an argument otherwise as to what the biggest problem with this team is, because they're just, and you can certainly point to things like Huberto not being especially good. You know, we all know that. We've talked about that lots and will likely continue to do so unless he turns his game around. Cause actually somebody, another dire stat, I think somebody, maybe it's the win column, somebody tweeted or posted the other day that Jonathan Huberto's year-over-year production drop is like the largest or one of the largest in NHL history. 115 points to 40 or whatever he has now to this point. Like, it's bad. But, again...
Why am I not as worried about that?
Because there's 18 skaters in the team.
Probably.
Yeah, realistically, the goaltender is the goaltender. He's a man on an island in a sense. Huberto's lack of production can be covered up by the team... You know, other players, Dylan Dubé being hot lately, Tyler Toffoli, 3 goals in 2 games.
I look at our lines. I mean, our top three lines, our fourth line right now sucks, a big one, but our top three lines are putting up points and scoring goals. Like, I can't even blame that anymore. And no, Huberto has not been good.
No, not at all. Not at all. He does the same thing Markstrom does. He criticizes himself in the media. It's like, okay, it's all just talk, you know? And again, you know, the stats, this stat in particular is meaningless to a lot of people, but it matters to me and some others as well. Like, no shutouts this year. the worst teams in the league, I'm sure, all have at least a shutout. You go into Ottawa on a Monday night, you know, it's kind of a sleepy game and you shut them out. Detroit would have been another one you'd expect that of. Obviously, like Arizona, like, they're just, how do you not have a single shutout this late in the season? How is that possible?
You know what, though? Like, and I hate to, like, dwell on this, you know? But, like, this team now, like, we can't say they're not scoring goals. And we can't even say they're not preventing chances. Look at our shots we're allowing. It's way down. Mm-hmm. And this year, our 5-on-5 save percentage, last year was third in the league. It's 29th.
Yeah.
You can't freaking move up the standings with subpar goaltending.
Subpar, we could probably manage. This has been awful.
I know.
I would argue that Dan Vladar at times has maybe been subpar. Markstrom has been bad virtually all year. But
he had one game I thought he looked good. That's freaking scary because I'm a Markstrom fan.
That's incredible. Eh?
I give him the benefit of the doubt, and I don't know why I'm giving Huberto so much leash this year, but I am. And you know what I think I am? You know what? Here's the down and dirty on that. We got him for 8 more years. Like, throwing him under the bus now and backing over him 80 times isn't going to help what lies ahead for the next 8 more years, right?
No, I mean, the market's the market, right? He cost what he cost. He was going to cost that to any team. What I don't like about that, though, is that you cannot expect a player to go from one coaching system, one team, one conference to another and just be the exact same player. Now, Matthew Tkachuk has dominated in Florida. He's had a great year. I get that. And he's a bit younger, whatever. Like, it does happen. Just Huberto was going to get that money wherever he went. So who cares if the Flames gave it to him? They needed a marquee name, and he's still that. But the expectation, it was just like plug and play. 115-point player goes out, 115-point player comes in. It doesn't work like that. They're very different players. And I've said that all season.
Did you think when we got him, you know, did you have a little bit of an inclination in your head that, like I would have thought that Gaudreau would have done what Huberto is doing now, right? Last year when Sutter took over, I thought Gaudreau would have troubles, being defensively responsible, right? And mm-hmm. I thought he would be the one that his points would suffer because of it, right? And it didn't. Gaudreau found a way to play within the system.
He's a much more of a competitor than people realize, I think, is one of the biggest reasons for that.
Do you think Huberto will find a way to flourish in this system? Because I do. I do. And maybe
he is going to get back to the 70, 80 point range.
Will he be at 150? No. But I don't think Gaudreau will be at his numbers that he was last year either.
Well, none of those guys will, you know. John's family, and they said this, you know, they've said similar things. I mean, that line last year was so dominant, everybody was elevated by it. It doesn't mean they're not fantastic players. Johnny Gaudreau was a point of game player in the NHL in any given season, right? Yeah. Like, he's had some subpar years, so some minor injuries, that happens. But I mean, like, great players are great players, but I don't think anybody that we've just discussed is going to hit the heights they hit before. That includes, I mean, Matthew Tkachuk actually is going to be pretty close to what he was at last year, but generally speaking, like, those years aren't the median, you know? Yeah. Like, they're the outlier. That's the high watermark.
I don't know. I feel like Huberto will get there. I do. Back to the goaltending. What do we do now, though? Like, what would you do, and what do you think Sutter will do?
Well, I think, as much as he may not want to admit it, there's obviously a lot of pressure from the fan base and the media to start Vladar. He's not an idiot. He's, you know, won a bunch of Stanley Cups and won a lot of games this league. He can see his number one goaltender is not performing well.
I think it's killing him.
I think he's got to get, he has to go to Vladar. There's no question about it. I think down the stretch, unless Markstrom somehow turns it around with a couple of really good games, which I can't see at this point. I'm not going to speak beyond the season because, like you, I do think he's going to be fine. You know, how many games we got left now? Let's have a look here.
20?
I should have stopped. Yeah, a little more than that, maybe. So we have played, let's see, 25, 18, and 11. Isn't that wild? So many friggin' shootout overtime losses.
Yeah, it's
54 games played. So, yeah, 28. So I go 20 and 8, whatever.
Yeah.
What, 28 games is not a lot, you know? It really isn't. So, I mean, and maybe that number changes, but where are you at on that? How do you think the goaltending duty should go down?
I think right now we're at home for three, right? What do we got? We got Thursday, Saturday, Monday at home.
Yeah.
I think you play Vladar in all three. Mm-hmm. And then when you go on the road next week, I think the schedule has a back-to-back. I'm just pulling it up here now. Yeah, we do. Next Wednesday, Thursday, Arizona, Vegas. I think you give Markstrom the Arizona game. And then I think Vladar goes Vegas, Colorado, Boston in the next home game, too. And I think you go with that until Vladar proves to me that he's stumbling. And then you go back to Markstrom. But I don't know. I feel like Vladar can handle the load. Do you?
No question in my mind.
Okay. I thought you would say that.
Yeah. Yeah. The other thing I'll throw in here, and I mentioned this on Twitter to a variety of different responses, mostly concern, but I think that once it's clear whether you're going to make or miss the playoffs, that's when you're bringing Dustin Wolf to get his first NHL starter too. Just to get a sense of what you have. I don't do that until the fate of the team is a little bit more clear.
I think we know what we have, right?
Well, he hasn't played NHL left yet, and everybody says, oh, he's small. Okay, well, whatever. Needs a chance.
I know we differ in opinion on this, and that's good. That's why we're both on the show. I can't say I completely disagree with you. Kyle, I like Dustin Wolf. I think he's either going to be a huge trade asset for us. We can't forget we got Markstrom for quite a while still. And Dan Vladar, I would love a Markstrom Wolf, but I love Dan Vladar too. So like, it's hard for me to just kick him to the curb too. So there's a dilemma there.
Taking that Markstrom contract.
No.
That's why I'm saying like after this season, it's not like, oh, you know, he's done. He's washed up. He's what? Like, that's just stupid.
So, I mean, do I see a future where it could be Wolf and Markstrom? Absolutely. I do. And I wouldn't hate that. But here's the deal. I just don't want – it's a step. It's a big step. And now I'm talking about a guy, and I'm not stupid. He's won at every single level, and every single level they've said he's too small.
Yeah.
But he's been, like, the leader of the WHL. Heck, he's doing everything he's a leader in the AHL. Like – do I think that'll translate to the NHL? I do. I really do with him. He's a competitor, and he's got the knack, right? But but I don't want to bring him up this year in a year where this sounds bad. In a year where shit's just not going good, I don't want to bring him up and sour him.
Well, that's what a lot of people have said, too. Oh, the team's not good enough in front of him. It's going to ruin his confidence. Somebody drew an analogy to Dan Blackburn, which to me was ridiculous. Dan Blackburn was a fantastic young goaltender who had serious concussion problems. So anybody who thinks that the Rangers just hung him with the dry, and yeah, they did, his development wasn't necessarily perfect, but that's a case where it's like, okay, the guy had serious, you know, injuries that led to his early retirement. A guy like Dustin Wolf, I don't want to see him get thrown to the wolves, pun intended, but I do think that he deserves to get a couple of starts, because then you have a better, okay, you know, he can stop a puck at the NHL level, so and maybe goes one-on-one with the...
What if he comes up and we get shelled 6-2? Then we send him down and go, oh, shit. Like, I just don't think it's worth it this year.
Like, he's won at every level.
I know, but it depends
on what happens, because you have to look at your asset management going into the summer.
Okay, so it's a gamble, you know? Right? It's a gamble, right?
Absolutely, it's a gamble, and I'm not saying it's necessarily the right move. I just think the team has to look at every option, because what they're doing right now, they're failing in every regard.
And that's making me why I don't want to gamble this year. It's like, if I play DraftKings for 5 nights in a row and I lose 5 nights in a row, I'm not going to... Like,
okay, so let me ask you the question though. So this team is, as I said, either clearly in the playoffs or clearly out of the playoffs.
I know what you're saying. I know, Kyle. I'm giving you a little bit. Oh, geez.
Or do you leave him? And say, you know what? This team is poised for a Calder Cup run. Leave him be completely. He doesn't need to come
in. I would leave him be, and I want to see him go win a Calder Cup. Because I think he's.
Because I want to see that too. So depending on how everything lines up time wise,
believe me, yeah. I want him as a Flame, and I don't think it's that far in the future, but I don't know that this is a year I would be rolling any dice with Dustin Wolf.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. That's just, you know, we could talk about this stuff all day and all night. It's just, there's too many unknowns, and
it'd
be nice to have some clarity.
Is Jason LaBarbera worried right now?
About his job?
Yeah.
Probably should be.
I hate to say it, too.
But it's interesting, too, because guys like him... It reminds me when Gretzky was coaching Phoenix or Arizona now. Phenomenal NHL players typically do not make very good managers or coaches, right? So Gretzky was not a good coach by you know, according to several people. A guy like Bob Bugner was a pretty regarded, well-regarded coach, like in Windsor, right? Or Dave Lowry. Jason LaBarbera was not a great NHL goaltender by any stretch, but apparently a pretty good goaltending coach. So I always find that really, really interesting. But I think if when you have a goaltender as skilled as Jacob Markstrom, regardless of what's driving his poor play, you have to look at the people around him. If I'm not selling like I'm supposed to,
they're going to point the finger at you, right?
Well, they're going to look at me, or they're going to look at my boss, right? Yeah. Or both of us. And right now, I think that's kind of what, like, I'm not going to suggest a move. I don't know enough about the ins and outs of it, but I think you got to look, okay, like, what is going on here? Or they must be having conversations with Jason, like, every day, be like, okay, what's the issue? Why are his fundamentals off? You know, what's going on between his ears? Like, there's something. Is there a nagging injury we don't know about that, you know, we're going to be hockey tough and play through it, which I've bemoaned before? I don't know, but it's not working.
This is a savage game when you think about it. Last year, everybody thought Markstrom.
This is a savage podcast when we listen back to it.
Everybody thought Markstrom was the greatest goalie last year and LaBarbera was the greatest coach. We're not 12 months later and it's like, man, trade Markstrom and we got to fire LaBarbera. It's like, oh my gosh. Like, what?
It all comes and goes in phases, right? Like, you talk about these coaches and they wear out their welcome and players get hot and cold. Like, it's just.
It's crazy.
It's just the nature of the beast, but man, it is wild, especially in the league these days, how quickly and crazily it swings.
Like, speaking of crazy things, what was your first reaction when you saw the tweet that Rasmus Anderson had been hit by a car last Wednesday night?
Why the fuck wouldn't he have been? The way things have gone for this, that's honestly, hate to say it, one of my first thoughts, like, really? Like, but of course, like, it just, your best defenseman, like, it just, you know, tentative aside, I guess, like, you just can't get much worse than this. So, speaking of that, because I haven't followed that closely in terms of where they're at now, like, is he practicing?
I have not even heard that, and I've actually, I pulled up the...
I know he went back to Calgary early, so...
I'm a goofball, like, I was searching pictures when they were on the road of them practicing to see if I could see him, and he wasn't. They're not practicing today. I pulled up the media, Flames media page. They had the day off. What day are we at? They had the day off yesterday. They practiced this morning at 10:30. I don't know if he's on the ice. I thought they were, from what I had heard all along was that, they weren't going to play him on the rest of the road trip, but he should be good to go. He received some stitches and some bumps and bruises. And
yeah, I think he was just banged up.
Seemed fine. You know?
And realistically, given the position of the team and the standings, I can understand, like, you know what? Go home and rest, because we're going to need you, you know, beyond these next three games. So, or two games, I guess it was.
We lose the next three, we might not need them at all.
Yeah, seriously. Ugh, man. Yeah, this is frustrating, man. This is really, really frustrating. So, I guess we'll see him tomorrow night.
Did you think it was funny what Daryl Sutter said about... him getting hit on a scooter.
Yeah, of course it is.
I thought he was being good. I think he was asked the question because everybody thought he was going to rip him for being on a scooter, and he's like, I don't know, what's the right man? What?
Like, who? Like, God damn it! Like, who cares?
They're humans, right? I mean,
yeah, and this is fun to talk about. Don't get me wrong, but it's like, you know, these guys get so worked up over these things, like, as if they don't go out to dinner. Like, I've seen a bunch of the Flames players having a beer at a bar, you know, a few years ago. Like, they're all human beings. I don't know why the hell you'd want to ride a scooter in Detroit, but anyway, I guess he won't do that again.
Quicker, I guess, but he gets hit. Oh, gosh. You know what a sad part about it, though, is he had his current Ironman streak was done. 323 consecutive games dating back to November 2000.
Because he got hit on a scooter.
Scooters! Stay the hell off scooters, right?
You know, at least Andrew Cogliano must have had a laugh at that, because he was in tears when he got healthy scratched. Or no, sorry, suspended when his Ironman streak ended at like 800 and some games, whatever it was. Like, he was a wreck. Well, you know, 300 and some games is a far cry from it, but it's, you know, kind of funny that that's how it ended. That's going to be the footnote in the history book of Rasmus Anderson.
Crazy. We'll be back to preview the three games this weekend.
Get all your Flames Unfiltered podcasts, team news, team updates, and highlights at flamesunfiltered.com.
All right, Kyle, three games. We get going Thursday night back home at the Saddledome. The red-hot Detroit Red Wings come into town. 6 in the Atlantic, points in 7 of their last 10 games. This team is playing good. Second of two meetings this year. Last week, we just talked about it. They beat us 2-1 in a game we should have won. Where do we go with this game? We see a Flames team that just gets out on them right away and puts us to bed, or do we flounder and... God, why am I asking this question?
I think it's going to be a statement game. I'm more worried, honestly, about the games to come beyond it. I just can't see them dropping that game. I'm not surprised Detroit's doing so well. And contrary to what I said earlier about great players making poor managers, Steve Yzerman is definitely an exception to that rule because he did a great job with Detroit, as he did in Tampa. But I think they're going to come out flying in that game. It's just what happens after that. Because this is like we saw in that Buffalo game. It's like, man, that was impressive. That was cool. That was fun. And then they fall flat. The following game, right?
You want to know what a good sign is, though, Kyle? I think they come out flying just because of the way they lost in Ottawa. I think it was a freaking... I'm sure the locker room was just a disaster. Well,
and there's strong personalities and leaders in that team. Huberto, Kadri. Yep. I think Uyghur can be a lot better. Like, you can't... I don't know how to explain it, I guess. But the team is so good on paper. They can't continue to be this bad is what I keep telling myself. Yeah. They keep proving me wrong. But there has to be some kind of a turning point. Because you know as well as I do, they're not going to go away like with a whimper.
No.
Like, if they're going to miss the playoffs and the cutoff is 92, they finish the season at 90. Or it's more probably like 98, 96 or whatever.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think that the Detroit game is going to be a really strong game from them. I certainly hope so.
The good news, Kyle, and you mentioned the word letdown, right, after that game. On Saturday night, Hockey Night in Canada, the Rangers are in town, which we never thought that was going to be a rivalry game, which it really isn't, but... They met just a little over a week ago. The Rangers beat the Flames in overtime. A very spirited game. I don't know. I call it the game of the year. We had Trouba crushing Dubé, crushing Kadri. We had Sammy Blade drilling Milan Lucic. He got traded now, which was a stupid thing. We'll talk about that another day. But this was a spirited affair, and I think that might carry over. And that may save the... Save the letdown, maybe.
Potentially, the flip side of that is I'm a little concerned about the Tarasenko trade because Tarasenko was as much as he struggled at times, is a pure sniper, and the Rangers have a lot of skill. So that could be a tough one. But I don't know. I think there's going to be some carryover, at least in the first period, maybe before the game calms down. But realistically, that's what this team needs is a game to really engage them.
The only problem is the guy they want to kill got traded, so. You know, I mean, they did. They wanted to get Sammy Blais, and now he's gone. But the Rangers are hot. They're winners of 5 straight, 3rd in the Metro. This team's really, really found their game since Christmas and probably probably the hottest team in the league right now. Monday, Philly comes into town. An afternoon game, I don't understand. I know it's a holiday, but it's an afternoon game. Philly 7th in the Metro, struggling this season. It usually means the Flames will struggle that day, too.
Yep.
Probably shouldn't say that, but shit, we speak the truth on this show, right, Kyle?
We do. A lot of it today, in fact.
A lot. That's why it's called Unfiltered. We love our team. We love our players, but we tell it like it is.
We love our listeners, you know. We love our families. We love lots of things. We just don't talk about things we love on days like today.
Well, we're honest about things, right? I mean, I don't know.
Certainly try to be.
Second of two meetings between Philly and Calgary. They played last November in Philly. Calgary won that one 5-2. I'm not even worried about that game right now. Like, we got to get through Detroit on Thursday night.
Let's take this a step at a time.
One step at a time. I hope the hell this week goes better for us.
Well, it can't go a hell of a lot worse. So, but now that I've said that, I may have cursed us. So I'm going to retract that statement as hope for the best.
Come on. We got to have fun.
I'm not superstitious. I intentionally walk underneath ladders, so just ignore me.
Kyle and I are back next week. We're going to recap the three games that we just talked about next week. And
we're going to have a really positive show just to balance things out.
Gosh, I hope so. We need a positive show. I did like 100 shows last year, and they were so positive. And this year, it's just like,
is it because of me?
Yeah, Kyle, what are you doing here?
Dragging everybody down.
Oh gosh. Well, we appreciate all the listeners, and hopefully you like our honesty, and we are loyal to our team, but we're honest too. So I don't know. That's just the way it goes. This is one of those seasons. We're back next week. Check out flamesunfiltered.com. Videos on YouTube. Audio's on all of them. Apple, Spotify, Amazon, all those. We're on them all. Have a good week, Flames fans. Kyle and I are going to we're gonna enjoy this week. We have to, right? We have to have fun with this, right, Kyle?
Absolutely.
Have a good week, Flames fans.
See you guys.
Connected. Flames Unfiltered can be found on Twitter at Flame Unfiltered. Check out the Facebook page at Flames Unfiltered. Host Brad Brood is on Twitter at Brad Brood, and host Kyle Lewis is on Twitter at VanLewis14. Like what you hear? Rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts. Flames Unfiltered can be found on all the major podcast players. Want to watch the show? You got it. Check out Inside Edge Hockey Media Group for every show. Subscribe while you watch. Thanks for listening, watching, and interacting. Enjoy the hockey action.
The win comes! Play on! Yeah, baby! Play on! Yeah, baby!
Thanks for tuning in to Flames Unfiltered. Check back for more action-packed Calgary Flames talk. This episode of Flames Unfiltered was copyrighted and produced by Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.